Would you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 2, verse 4, and also 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16? We're going to be looking at both these passages of Scripture, and so I hope that you'll put a marker in them or in some way be able to turn to them quickly so that we can refer to them during the message. So Romans chapter 2, verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Last month, we began a series on our wonderful Lord and Savior. We started out with a message focusing on the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The second message dealt with two more character qualities of our Savior, his humility and gentleness. This morning, we continue our series by focusing on our wonderful Lord's patience. My prayer is that this series will open your eyes to view in a fresh light the glories of his matchless character and person. Let's begin then by reading two key passages of Scripture that, read together, clearly point out our Lord's perfect patience. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? And then 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Patience is a character quality of God, demonstrated by both the Father and the Son. In the two passages of Scripture we just read, you'll notice that both God, usually referring to God the Father, and Jesus Christ, God the Son, are shown to be characterized by patience. You remember that the New Testament was originally written in Koine Greek. Notice then the full meaning of the Greek word translated patience in both these passages in the New American Standard Bible. The Greek word is makrothumia, which literally means long-tempered, having the idea of forbearance toward someone or fortitude toward circumstances. If you're reading from the King James Version, it translates it here as long suffering. So you see where that word long factors in here. Notice that the context of both these passages is in regard to salvation. This is where God's patience is most desperately needed and most gloriously revealed. You'll notice in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that God's patience is motivated by his kindness, which is an aspect of his love. In fact, this verse reminds us that God's kindness not only motivates him to exercise patience towards sinners, but God's kindness also motivates the sinner to repent of his sins and come to Christ for salvation. Notice the last part of this verse again, Romans 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? In salvation, God's patience or forbearance towards sinners causes him to delay carrying out their deserved judgment for their sins and instead causes him to give them time to respond in repentance and faith in Christ to God's marvelous, gracious offer of forgiveness and salvation. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul points out that since he is the foremost of sinners, the fact that our wonderful Savior exercised such patience with him, how much more Christ is willing to save us if we will respond. Let me read verse 16 again, 1 Timothy 1. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. But salvation is not the only area where the Lord exercises patience toward us. He exercises patience toward those who are his children. In other words, the Lord constantly demonstrates his patience each day toward those of us who are saved and are his children, as we inevitably fail to meet his standards in so many ways. By patience, I mean that the Lord doesn't immediately send correction into our lives, but rather uses his word to reprove us. His Holy Spirit then convicts us of our sin and shows us our need to confess and forsake it. It's only after the Lord takes these steps that, if we continue stubbornly in our sin, he then brings circumstances to bear in our lives to correct us and motivate us to repent and forsake our sin. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would, so that you can see with me how the Lord, as a loving, patient father, deals with us as his children in order to bring us to the goal of righteousness and enable us to share in his holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Those of you who are parents, you can see from this passage that you need to exercise patience toward your children, just as God does toward you as his child in the manner described in this passage. As you can see, then, patience is not only one of God's character qualities, it is also one we are to imitate. It is one of the Christ-like character qualities that the Holy Spirit is growing in us as we cooperate with his transforming work in us. This is given us in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we'll stop right there. All of us, not just parents, are to exercise this patience toward others, especially toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, we read this: Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Remember that the basic definition of the Greek word makrothumia, translated patience, is long-tempered as opposed to short-tempered. In other words, not getting upset easily, giving others space and time to respond to the Lord's working in their hearts. This doesn't mean that we ignore sin or excuse it. It means that instead of getting upset by it, we concentrate on helping each other recognize sin, accurately diagnose it, and forsake it. Notice the words and phrases surrounding the word patience in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Humility, gentleness, showing tolerance for one another in love. That captures the spirit and essence of being patient toward one another. Are you practicing this patience toward one another, husbands and wives? Are you practicing this patience toward your children, parents? Are you practicing this patience toward your brothers and sisters in Christ? As I mentioned a little earlier in this message, some of you are parents, and you may be asking yourself, how exactly do I exercise patience in the rearing of my children? Realize, first of all, that patience is above all an attitude or frame of mind. You have an attitude and heart of love that cares for the well-being of your child. You desire God's very best for them. You hate anything that would harm them spiritually and that would turn them away from experiencing God's fellowship and blessings. You have filled your mind with God's word and are thinking of their needs from God's viewpoint. When you have this attitude and frame of mind, then you won't be focused on your own comfort or convenience, but rather on God's plan and will for them. That means that you won't get upset by what they are doing or not doing, nor by how they are affecting your schedule or plans for the day. This is especially what is meant by forbearance. This frame of mind frees you to concentrate on truly helping your child, including carrying out the discipline that may be needed to affect the biblical change that God commands in His Word. Secondly, patience is not only an attitude, but it is also a steadfast commitment to see the job through until it is completed. That means that when you are tired, whether physically or emotionally, you don't ignore your child's need for teaching or rebuke or discipline, and you don't opt out of your responsibility. Rather, you go to the Lord in prayer for His grace and strength to enable you to do what He has called you to do as a parent. By the way, I hope you noticed how God deals with us as His children in the area of discipline in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. Did you notice that, first of all, He reproves us? That is, He communicates to us in words what we are doing wrong and what we should be doing instead. This happens when we read His word, the Bible, and He highlights it for us in our minds and applies it to our situation. Remember, this is not highlighting by some kind of miracle where the words stand out with yellow highlighter. No, we're just talking about the Lord just brings your focus to those words or phrase or even verse and helps you to see that it's for you. This also happens when He guides your pastor or another preacher to preach something that deals with what the Lord is reproving you about in your life. This should bring to your heart a conviction of your sin and should be sufficient to motivate you to confess your sin and forsake it. This is where God then demonstrates His perfect patience by giving you space and time to repent. It's only if we do not respond to reproof that God, in His wisdom and perfect timing, then brings scourging, that is, painful motivation by means of an instrument of discipline. This discipline could be in the form of a car accident or bike accident or just simply falling and receiving a physical injury, or it could be in the form of sickness, or it could be in the form of financial trouble. There are any number of ways that God can, in love, get your attention. By the way, don't view any of these trials necessarily as discipline, whether it happens to you or to a brother or sister in Christ. But if it happens to you, definitely go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to show you whether or not there's anything in your life that is not according to His will and that you need to confess and forsake. Trust God to show you if you are willing for Him to show you. If there is no sin you need to confess, then you ask Him for His grace to grow through this trial. If God does bring to your mind a sin you are not confessing and forsaking, then confess it to Him immediately and forsake it by His enablement. If you refuse to confess and forsake this sin, God, in patience, will continue this painful motivation until the desired change is achieved, until you, as His child, respond in true repentance. In other words, a change of mind, and then forsake your sin. Parents, you would do well to follow God's example of parenting. Not only that, all of you who truly are saved and have been born again into God's family by faith in Christ, don't forget this pattern of how God deals with you as your heavenly Father. Spend time in God's Word. Listen to what He's saying as He sends His messengers to expound His Word to you. Heed what God says in His Word. Listen to His reproof and respond in submission to His discipline. Above all, cooperate with the Holy Spirit who dwells in you as He does that wonderful work of transforming you to be more like Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Perhaps you're listening to this message and you're not absolutely sure that you are saved from sin and hell. God has demonstrated His perfect patience in giving you space and time to repent of your sins and accept His offer of salvation. Will you respond to Him now before it's too late? If you'd like me to show you from the Bible how to be saved, please contact me. I would consider it a joy and privilege to help you come to Christ. Now, Christian, have you caught a fresh glimpse of the perfect patience of our wonderful Lord? Will you respond to Him in worship and adoration and tell Him how glad you are that He is so patient with you? Will you commit yourself to respond gladly and immediately to His reproofs and discipline? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful word that gives us comfort, encouragement, guidance, and also reproof when we are going the wrong direction. We are so thankful that you do not let us go down the wrong path of disobedience and sin without your reproof. Thank you, Lord, for your reproofs. And thank you, Lord, that if we ignore your reproof, that you then bring discipline into our lives, painful motivation in order to wake us up to our need to repent and to do what is right, to confess our sin, and to change what we've been doing. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that we would be ready to see our own sin and to repent and to change by your enablement to forsake our sin. Lord, I pray for any who are listening to this message and they are not absolutely sure that they are saved. They are not absolutely sure that if they were to die today or tomorrow or next week, that they would go straight to heaven. Lord, then I pray with these individuals that you would speak to their hearts, that you would reprove them of their need for salvation. Would you show them their lost condition, their need for Christ? I pray that you would not allow them to rest, that they would not be allowed to forget this call for salvation, but that you would bring them to repentance and faith in Christ. Pray that they would contact me or someone else they know who they know is born again and could show them from the Bible how to be saved. Lord, one way or another, may they make sure of salvation before it's too late. And so, Lord, now we leave this in your hands for your children. I pray that you would work in the hearts of any who are ignoring reproof, or as you have shown them something from your word, perhaps even today, I pray that they would respond by asking for your enablement to carry through with what you're showing them. And we ask these things in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.